Hello, and welcome back to the Vergers. We are a queer survivor superfan podcast, and we're discussing episode 9 of season 46. A few weeks ago, we were not as high on this season, and now, after these past few episodes, we're absolutely loving it. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Christine Palin. And as always, both of them have idols, neither of them will play it, one of them will regret it. It's Derek Rining and Sam Stanish.
Every week I'm saying this is the best episode of the season. It seems like there's no ceiling. I'm worried. I feel because I've in 45 there were like two episodes in a row that were amazing, and then they had one bad episode and then like three more really good ones. So I'm worried that the bubble's about to burst, but no signs of that so far.
Yes, and when you were saying it was the best episode before, I would say 2 weeks ago, it was like damning with faint praise, probably. Like, well, this is the best it's been. But yes, I've been having a lot of fun post-merge. I think for whatever reason, Survivor gods deem it so. Sometimes, they can't all be winners, but seems like it's getting good now, in my
And our guest this week is not a Survivor winner, but a Survivor Day
opinion.
icon. Wanting to get him on the pod for so long. We loved him on the season, and it's the stars have finally aligned. Please welcome Romeo Escobar from season 42.
Hey guys, I'm so excited to be here. I know we've been trying to make this work for a while, so I'm happy that we finally were able to make it work.
Yes, me too. We're getting close to having all the gays, right? For at least New Era, I think so.
I think so. We're getting there.
That's our internal
That's the goal. That's your goal. All
journey.
the gays.
I think so.
And now they just announced Survivor 50, so maybe they'll have like gays versus straight.
I really genuinely think that would be a great season. Like, that would be great.
They're cowards. They'll never do it, but it would serve.
I'm gonna pitch this. This is my pitch. It's first boot versus runner-up. I
Versus gay
think that has
people.
thrown it out there,
Versus
and I
gay
think that
people.
would be very that would be very entertaining to watch.
I
Romeo,
agree.
very brave of you to come on the pod, do a media appearance 12 hours after Jeff announced that Survivor 50 will be returning players. Have you been contacted by anybody in the last evening?
What? I can't even turn on social media because all the posts from Instagram and Twitter are just Survivor 50 related. It's crazy. It's crazy. Everyone's talking about it. But it's
It's
exciting. I mean, we're
wild.
still, even though we've played, we're still fans. It's still exciting. We still love watching the show. So I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that Survivor 50 will be returning players,
No.
but it's definitely exciting that now he's officially confirmed it.
It's definitely talk about spicy Jeff giving them everyone over a year to pregame and speculate as to who will be on is quite interesting. So I'm sure the alum community will be very fun over the next year as everyone tries to not obviously pre-game but keep their options open.
That,
Yeah.
right.
I'm really so that made me think like did people know like oh it's about to be All-Stars or it's about to be Heroes versus Villains like this
Oh, we
early?
don't know anything. We don't know anything. We just
I
assume it's the
know.
two guys.
It was
Well,
never this early, like, because it's like in the past it's my understanding usually the returnee seasons, I don't know about All Stars going that far back, but they still like take applications and like look at new people, and then it's like over the course of a casting cycle make that choice. So this is definitely certainly the longest public lead time. I think All Stars is a little different. I think a lot it like more that like got around in the alum community more, but so this is
And
kind
also,
of
it's going to
where
be a
All
game
Stars.
changer for people that contestants that are going to play, 47, 48, and 49, because now they're going into it
Knowing that
knowing. So they're going to, be trying to secure their spot when they're playing up.
those poor 49ers, someone's gonna like be really hoping they get like pulled for the Russell Hantz spot. Like some people are gonna really like
Oh
try
God, but
to
that's
get back to
horrible.
back.
Like,
I know.
I can imagine doing back to back. There's no, I can't imagine.
That is, the more I think about this, I think this was just an awful idea on Jeff's part.
We all
Just
knew.
say, just like, well, first of all, the way he announced it was so like, did he know that this was gonna happen? He like is on his phone, like, hey guys, it's
The video
happened.
is so strange. He's at that fan event that they did in LA yesterday,
Oh yeah,
and he's just like,
this is weird.
I talked to this gigantic crowd, and we all decided that season 50 is gonna be returning players. It's like,
I'm gonna guess it was already planned, but I love the you know, the way that it was executed.
The theater of it all. The, yeah, that's so funny. So Romeo, how are you feeling about 46 so far?
So I agree with you guys. I mean, I was a little worried pre-merge, but post-merge, it's a complete different show. I feel like it got exciting. I feel like more entertaining, and I'm definitely enjoying it. And plus, you know, it's so different when you watch the show after you've been on it, because you know, I was a fan before I did the show, so you view the show completely different. You know, the edit, you're like, oh well, maybe that happened this way, maybe it didn't, because you know how, you know, producers and the show's edited. But I'm enjoying it. I know I've met a couple of the 46ers already, and they're really cool people, and it's exciting. You know, I'm excited to see who wins.
Oh yeah. Are you seeing, would you compare anyone on this season to your edit at all?
Okay, so I actually met Venus, and we bonded, because obviously our games are not completely the same, mm-hmm. but edit wise we have very similar personalities. I think I'm more self-aware because I'm older, you know.
Yeah,
I'm older, but also I relate so much to her, because you have this desire to play, and when no one's playing with you and you're left out of alliances, you know, you can only do so much. So it's really frustrating. And she's just like, I'm not, you know, that scene where she was like, I'm not going to help these people. Like, they don't, you know, they don't talk to me, they don't like me. I related so much to that, to my episode where I was stealing people's rides and not helping anybody. It's like, I'm not going to do anything for these people. I hate these people. Like, screw them. I'm going to eat the rice where they're not here, you know? So I relate a lot to her.
I that's a great pick, honestly. I feel like, how do I say this? I mean, Banu is like gay disaster. I think you were a lot more successful than Banu, but what did you think about Banu as like a messy gay?
It was very hard to watch.
It was hard to see a sister fail.
Yes.
Because, I don't know, you feel for him because mm-hmm. he's a fan, and you know, and when you're a fan out there, you want to stay. And when you feel like your game is coming to an end, you just go into desperation mode, and that's what happened to him. So I feel for him. I haven't met him yet, but there was a lot of cringe moments out there, you know. And I feel for him, and I hope that he's doing okay, you know.
I think so.
Speaking of your similarities to Venus, I feel like I think that there's been a lot made of like the way 41 and 42 were edited, sort of keeping everything very positive. And I feel like, especially right after your season, you said in an interview or something, like they really didn't show all of like the, like,
oh God. Yeah, so there's two types of gays, and tell me if you agree or not. There's the nice gays and the bitchy gays. Mm. I fall somewhere in the middle. Like, I'm a very nice person. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and but I'm also, I can be bitch, especially when you're not eating, when you don't like people that you're around, when you're sleeping in the dirt. I was very bitchy, and a lot of my, you know, people that I played with that I'm really good friends with now, they always say, man, you were just angry out there. And I agree. Like, I was angry because obviously the conditions, but also I hated them. I hated them all. Also, a lot of my confessionals were just like bitching about everybody, and I would go back after the game. We were at the airport, and I told everybody, heads up, I'm sorry if I said something about you, because I was very angry and I said a lot of really nasty, mean things. And when the show came on, they showed bits and pieces of that. Like, you could see like the bitchy Romeo, but they kept it at a very minimal. And I realized why they did that is because, you know, the end was coming, and I was going to pull off that surprising win at the end, mm-hmm. that challenge against Jonathan. And they wanted people to see me as the underdog and be
surprised
and happy that I won, as opposed to me being a bitch the whole season and everyone would be angry that I won that last. So I understand as a producer myself, like, I get the why they did it. But yeah, there was so much left in the editing room floor where I was just like very, very, very mean.
Every gay person wants to go out and be in confessional and be Courtney Yates. And it just sometimes the story doesn't work out that way.
Oh my God. It's funny because Omar always says, you're like Courtney Yates. You're like, you know, like people only knew, like, saw that you're just like her.
I know. We are robbed. That's why we need you to get on 50. And then, like, I don't know. I guess, like, I not have an underdog story somehow, and you can just be
and just be myself. Yes.
Don't give them anything else. Give them one choice, like fully like produce your own edit.
Right,
I love that. That's great. But I agree with your thesis statement that those are the two types of gays, and I think we all have both of them inside of us.
Mm-hmm. Two wolves.
Yeah, there are two wolves inside of you. One is a really nice gay guy, and the other is a really mean one.
But it's always exciting to see who will be the gay of the season. You know, I always feel like I feel like every time I, you know, hit people in their DMs when the cast is released, and I'm like, okay, this is the person. You know, so excited to welcome the new Survivor gays.
And we used to be we only used to get the one, if that, every season. So it's like, we are so blessed nowadays, I would say.
Yeah. Those pictures of Todd and Spencer live in infamy.
Right, I remember watching that. I was like, wow, you can be gay and small and be on Survivor and win. My God.
Gay and small, those are
the only kind of gay guys
you can have. I thought that was going to be me. I was like, I'm going to be the next Todd.
Oh, I could see that for you, honestly. I think you played a great game. We were so, I don't know,
you won our hearts.
Yes, which is when you go out there as a gay guy, it's like you're doing it for the girlies. Like, and so you were about that life, and we love that.
Oh, absolutely. I was like, if I'm not going to win, Marianne's going to win this.
Yes.
Period.
The most
little ones win.
I love that. Oh my gosh.
Oh man. So, I mean, we certainly got some outward aggression this episode. This whole season has been a lot of people don't like each other, and this episode continued that with Tiff and Q, Hunter and Venus's like really tense back and forth.
He ate her up. I'm sorry.
No, like, he kind of ate her up.
Nobody was mad at it, and she said, "Well, I got mad," and he said, "Yeah, but you're always mad." Get her.
I feel like every season, you know, when you wrap a season, we all create this group chat, and most of the new era players have been a kumbaya after the show, you know, post show, everyone, you know, remains friends. I don't see that for 46. Mm-hmm. I feel like these people don't like each other.
Yeah. They don't. I think they actively dislike each other.
Every season we've been talking about, like, what the postseason controversy of the season is going to be, and it's like the Survivor 46 controversy started like at the episode one. Like there's no need to wait for preseason; they're all just talking.
And then you see them on Twitter, and I'm like, "Wow, you're getting away with so much. We would get in so much trouble."
Yeah, Venus is back. She reactivated. I love that this episode that she like reactivated now that her like ops have gone out, and she's like,
"Oh, I love it.
Ready to glow." It's so funny.
Venus, I love.
Oh man. Yeah, that's
good. But I,
yeah, what honestly, do you think?
Like,
so
when the season started, I had a wrong winner pick. I don't know who's gonna win. I mean, it's all over the place. I think Charlie and Maria are doing really well. I think Kenzie's the favorite to win at this point, you know. But I don't know. I don't know.
Who was your original?
Who was your winner pick?
Should I say?
All of our winner picks are already out of the game. So
yes,
who was your winner pick?
Mine was Soda. Yeah, mine was Soda.
Mine was Tim.
And mine was Jim. So.
Oh, mine too.
Oh, there you go. See, I just saw, I'm glad you saw something in her too. And I'm glad we're all losers. But yeah, I agree, Kinsey. I feel really good. I'm very curious to know if this Tiffany kind of attempted blindside is going to bite her in the ass. I don't know where that's going.
I just don't understand. She brought the idea to like four people and then it didn't happen. Like
I was confused about that too. I think it's too soon. I think it's, there's still too many people left in the game for you to be turning on Tiffany, because when she's gone, then who do you have? It's gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like Q's you no longer have Q. I think the smartest thing to do would have been like what the Three Stooges did in 44, which is the three of you stick together as long as you can, and then cut Q because he's all over the place. But, you know, he's not going to win at this point. So I think it was too soon. And it's so crazy that despite everyone talking about voting off Tiffany, she still didn't get any votes. She still hasn't gotten any votes, and she still has her idol. It's crazy to me.
Tiffany has quickly become one of my, like, I mean, it's obviously recency bias, but she, like, I am obsessed with her in ways that very few Survivor contestants capture my heart the way that Tiffany has. I love her, and like every episode she impresses me even more. I'm just obsessed.
She's a star. Like this episode, like, just to get out of this. I mean, first of all, great TV, compelling narrator, very funny, like says just very offhand, very funny things. She like is willing to like get in the drama, and then all of that, she gets out of this vote with her idol. It's like, she is like the complete package of like a good Survivor, like entertaining Survivor character in the new era. And I mean, of course, obviously Q of it all, those two together, it's just magic.
And I just remember in the preseason, we were like watching her pre-interviews and stuff, and she was like still giving all these canned answers about like being an artist or whatever, and I didn't have a read on her at all going into the season. And so just watching her work and like be herself is so awesome. I love her.
Agreed. Yeah, I feel it's just like the preseason, it rarely gives you an actual taste of like who the person is, because they're so used to giving the company line throughout all of like auditioning and stuff. So then it's like, you want to see who Tiffany really is. And I, like you said, Sam, I'm obsessed. And she managed to like flip this vote without even like, she just like having the idol, she kind of used the idol in the way that everyone thinks that you would, which is like, you use it as like a sort of like cudgel of like, no, you're like not voting me out this week. Like, it's just not going to happen. And yeah, I think she's playing an amazing game. But like you said, Romeo, this is just like, I don't understand why her name was even on the table in the first place this round. It's weird to me.
I mean, she is a threat. You know, she is a threat, and I think people realize that. But I think for Kenzie, I think it was too early to turn on her. But yeah, she's right. I mean, she's right to do it. She's a big competition to her, but I think
Kenzie's better play here would have been to try to get Tiff to play the idol, to burn it, like, while she's still on her side. Like, I know she, like, Kenzie, this was just seems like it came out of, I mean, we've talked about this in other seasons, of just the faster pace of the game. You have fire making at four now. Like, there's just fewer and fewer chances like to actually take people out in the end game. Just things move so fast. You have the split tribal. It's true that this is like the really crucial portion of the game where you only have a few votes in a row, where you like have margins to be able the like enough people to make something happen. But it seems like the smarter thing would be to stay on her good side for at least another vote or two, burn that idol. And it just seemed like she had some, like, I think we can see, like, fear that Tiff would turn on her first. But from what we can see, Kenzie's in the way better position right now. And, but Tiff is not desperate yet. It's like, it's a fine line. I get it. But, like, I think this, Tiff hasn't crossed into that territory of needing to get rid of Kenzie. She still needs Kenzie. Kenzie's the one who has options. Tiff doesn't.
I think if either one of them get to the end, I think either one of them has a very good chance of winning.
Yeah.
And Maria and Charlie, who's no one's talking about, which is crazy to me. Like, why are these like going under the radar? Like, this is a strong pair. Why is no one noticing?
And it also seems like Kenzie and Tiff are telling people we're tight. And then Charlie and Maria are like so obviously tight because of like, maybe they're a little less obvious with it, but like, it seems like by now people probably have picked up on it.
Because it's like, they've had multiple scenes like outwardly just like on the beach talking, just the two of them. Like, isn't that suspicious? Maybe it just doesn't register that way to this cast. But I agree. It's like wild to me that they are seemingly still completely under the radar as a duo.
I really think that Tim picking Maria for the Six Alliance masked them a lot. Mm-hmm. And like, if he had picked Ben, then it's like becomes obvious that the other pair is Maria and Charlie, but because Maria was brought in instead of Ben, they had a couple rounds of like not being so clearly connected in front of everybody.
That's a good point. And also, like, it's so different what we're seeing versus what's really happening in the beach a lot of the time. So maybe they're masking it better than they're masking it to us as viewers.
Because it does seem like we'd see a lot of scenes of both of them talking to one person, like
in this very episode.
Yeah, I know. And even it's just like they're constantly aligned on every single point. And it is funny watching them talk just by themselves, because Charlie, like, at one point asked Maria for permission to go talk to Tiff. Like, she was his boss or something. It was very funny.
I love that. Yeah, Maria's great. Charlie's also doing a good job, I think, of, like, he was on people's radars, but he's, like, falling back off of it. And I think it is helpful that there are people like Hunter, like Q, even like Venus, who just are, people seem very happy to take heat in this season.
Right. There's a lot of good players this season, but there's also a lot of entertaining players this season. So
it's the perfect combo. That's why I'm very excited to see how the end game even happens. Cause I'm like, I like looking at this cast now, I'm like, who is like an easy target for everyone?
Right,
who
would be someone? Happen? And do we even expect that that Q's game would be where it is now, like two episodes ago? No, it's like, what's going to happen? You just never know. I mean, I thought, you know, Q had a very good chance of winning if he got to the end. And all of a sudden, one tribal council, everything changed. And there's no way he would win if he made it to the end. So it's just like, you never know what's going to happen on Survivor.
That's the thing that I am sad about Final 3 versus Final 2. Like, I was thinking about this more in reference to Venus this week, but Q is another good point now, where it's like, I could, like, at this point in the game, you can see a future where Venus could get to the end with one other person she could beat, but, like, it feels like since the merge, the idea of her somehow navigating to the end in a Final 3 with, like, any chance to win just feels so unrealistic from our perspective, and so, like, now with Q2, it's like, well, I guess I don't have to, like, I can't even root for them to win, it feels like, because it feels like there's no chance. But, like, imagine if they got to the end together. The jury'd have to vote for one of them.
Bring back a Final 2 just for these two.
I mean, that would be perfect. I would love that. I mean, well, that trio was in the challenge together, which, can we talk about the, what do you even call these? The, like, tiered... Or like relay, heats. Like I don't know. Romeo, you guys had to do one of these, right?
I you know what? I don't think we did heats, but here's the thing. Like I feel like everyone should have an opportunity to compete in every portion of the competition, yes. And the one that, you know, wins it all. You know, so I'm not a fan of like the heat challenges. I wish I had more endurance challenges in my season. It was weird. And then it's funny how the three pairs like grouped off. That was also entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
And then just commentary on who he thought was gonna lose. That's a first too. So
yeah, Jeff is like very, I guess spicy is the word. I'm just like saying, like, you guys are weird.
He's not holding back anymore, right?
He said, everybody watching is thinking it.
We were lucky. We had the nice Jeff in season 4.
Yeah.
Everybody here talked, and we all think you're bad at the Survivor.
Yeah,
you have Jeff, when he was just out of his garage, like, ready to, like, get back into it, just excited to have you guys back, and now they have him, like, he's fully, like, back in his powers.
Right.
They gave him a knife, and he's never looked back.
It's interesting, like, Jeff predicted that they would be the first ones out, and he was wrong at that, but, like, it's not like they won. They still lost in the second round, which is not, like, I don't know, I'm confused about what the messaging there was intended to be.
Yeah, like, what do we get out of that? I think my thing with, I would maybe like these heat challenges more if it was set up, and they, like, the players kind of ended up doing this by themselves, but I would make more sense to me if it was, like, each one is, like, a team, like, purely team challenge. Like, all three of you are working together to, like, win this heat together, like, as a unit. And then it's, like, a lot more compelling when, okay, now you all three have to go against each other for immunity instead of just, like, you're all, like, doing your own individual sort of part of the challenge.
Right.
And just depends on which three of you get out first. I don't know. There's just, like, a version of this that I think works a lot better than this did.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
I'm conflicted on how I feel about Groot, like the idea that Q brings up to Charlie and Maria being like, you need to throw it so that Hunter loses immunity. I guess I like it because it adds like a layer of strategy to the challenge, but I'm also kind of like, I don't know, shouldn't everybody just have like shouldn't that not be possible? Like, shouldn't everybody just have an even shot at winning immunity? I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, at this point, it's like at this point, you don't want to lose it. You want to win immunity. You're getting closer to the end. So why would you want to throw anything?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Like, I don't know.
Charlie said throwing challenges is yucky.
Yuck. So I don't know a better word than fruity. You know, he's sometimes a little, and I love that.
Not every Taylor Swift fan.
Definitely an ally. Oh, he's an ally.
He's an ally, yes. A fierce ally. So yeah, Charlie wins though, which is exciting. It's weird that they used the crucifixion one as the final part of this one. I feel like that deserves to be its own challenge.
We had that one, but only Lindsay and Jonathan competed, which I wish we all had a chance.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was good for him. He won. I was surprised that he won that one. But, good for him.
Same. And this is where I think Hunter, like, everything went wrong for Hunter in my eyes, which is just like, you know that you are a threat. You know that you are specifically an individual immunity threat. So it's like, as soon as the words, like, as person not named Hunter, you have individual immunity come out of Jeff's mouth, you as Hunter should be scared, I would think.
This is what surprised me the most about that. During Tribal Council, you saw Hunter literally ask every single person, are we good? Are we good? That lets you know that he did not feel good. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you play your idol the entire time? I'm thinking you clearly are uneasy. You don't trust the vote because you keep asking every single person. And you can tell that these people are like, what's going on? Like, why is he doing this now? He should have played it.
It's also like indication. If like that many people know you have an idol, like, and like he, I mean, we'll get, but we can discuss the choice to disclose that information, which was a choice. But if that many people have an idol, you have to think it's in their best interest to like trick you into playing it. Like, mm-hmm. And so it's like, it should have been a red flag to that. So many people were like, you're good, buddy. Like, you're all good. Like mm-hmm. It would have been smarter for that. Like, you know, if you were truly trying to get you to waste it.
At one point in the challenge, he's like, this isn't like some big ruse to get rid of my idol, right? And Kenzie's like, no, I don't think so, no.
So you knew,
what are people going to say to that?
You knew what could happen and you still didn't play it. I don't understand.
He said in his exit confessional that he went into the tribal playing, like there was no way he wasn't playing the idol. And then like throughout the tribal, he became lulled into a false sense of security. And to be fair to him, five people voted for someone who wasn't him. Sure. And like, so it like, it almost happened, right. But I was kind of like, okay, everybody has to do Hunter now. Like it was never going to be you.
Any indication that there, it might lead for you to be voted off, you use it. Any slight indication, like you have to use it.
That's especially what I'm saying.
Especially with the challenge, like everything that he's done up to this point, he just like his number one ally was just blindsided. He was left out of the vote last time. Like, you lost an immunity challenge after being the biggest immunity beast. You have an idol. Like, just play it. Try to find it the next day. But like, just get to the next day and like see what's going on. Like, you could do anything the next day. Like, who knows?
You could win individual immunity next time. It's just like there. It just doesn't make sense to me, like we've been saying. And like, obviously I don't want to, like, I don't know. I don't want to make Hunter feel, not that I assume Hunter's listening to this, but I just don't want to make him feel bad about that decision, because obviously there were a sequence of events that led him to believe he didn't need to play his idol. But it's just like, as a viewer and as someone who's seen, I feel like idols go out in pockets so much more often lately than they ever have before. It's just like, at a certain point, you just got to play it, even if you're wrong. In my opinion, it's just like, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth, if you have in the slightest inkling, just do it. Like,
rarely do I invoke Mike Holloway on this podcast, but he did it right. Like, he was a huge immunity threat. He threatened people with using his idol while he had immunity, and he didn't do it. And then the second he lost immunity, he played it. And then he kept going and kept winning immunity challenges. Like, if you're playing the Mike Holloway game, you have to stick to the playbook.
Right.
And, yeah. And Hunter kind of should have, like, I think, been able to take a look at his position in the game and known, like, he had very few options, and that was what maybe his best option at the moment. Like, that's not an ideal game for everyone to play if you can't win challenges, and you're not really, like, dedicated to finding idols. But, like, after losing Tevin and then, you know, losing immunity, that should have been, like, okay, like, maybe this is something I need to do. And to be fair, Tiff took the same risk as him, and it worked out for her.
Right.
It's just a matter of your survivor. You can take the same exact risk as someone, and you know, it just worked out for her. Like, if this had gone the other way, we'd be having this conversation about Tiff. We'd be so frustrated. But now we're like, yes, queen, you hold on to your idol, because it's just like it worked for her. and it just didn't work for him.
Yeah.
And if he got to the next day, he's getting there with four people, including him, who just voted with him. Like, there was runway for you to go. And especially once you randomly tell Venus and Liz that you have this item, I don't know. Like, it's just you got to do it. You're a huge challenge threat with an immunity idol.
If he is listening, we're big fans. I enjoyed him so much, and the reason why we're frustrated is because we wanted him to stay and we wanted him to use it correctly. So I'm sure he'll be back. We'll see him again. He was very entertaining to watch. Great player and another ally.
Yes.
If he is listening, wear your glasses more, King. post to your Instagram more. We love you.
Did I say this last week? He was looking so fine in those glasses and the beard being so much fuller.
Very handsome man. Very
mm-hmm. And speaking of handsome, Tevin looked so good on jury. Mm-hmm. Gotta say, I'm sad Tevin's out, but I'm so glad that both he and Soda get to like give us looks for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good looking jury now.
Mm-hmm. the hots.
This cast is all about after the vote outs being like, "We love you," which is so funny in contrast to all of their personalities for the most part. Like, they're all being mean to each other and rude in confessional and on the beach and on Twitter and like, I don't know. But then as soon as they like cast someone out of the game, they're like, "Miss you." And Tim said, "Love you, hunty." And then he was like, he was like, I'm glad he called it out. He was like, "That's meaningless. You guys just voted me out."
All right.
He's like, "I am not your hunty."
Romeo, I want to get your thoughts on Liz, because Liz has been an interesting figure this season. She was very very much not a presence for much of the game, and then the past few episodes, and it seems in the next time on Survivor she's becoming more and more of a big character and player. Yeah, just curious what your thoughts on her, because a lot of people are reading her as maybe being a losing finalist. You know, like, what's, you know, what her, where her story is going. We're just curious. I'm curious what your thoughts on our rumored billionaire Liz Wilcox.
So it's funny because, again, like, there's certain cast members that I reach out to when they're announced, and because I'm like, I relate to this person in some way or another, and she was one of them. You know, we were DMing back and forth. She seems like a really sweet lady. There's always someone in the cast that kind of, and that's the producers editing, feel like kind of don't focus on as much, which mm-hmm. is unfortunate, you know? And it's really rare because that doesn't happen as much now in the new era like it did in the past. I mean, as fans, you remember, mm-hmm. People would be purpled hardcore fans yeah. before the new era. Like, people, you know, would make it all the way to the end and had like two confessionals, which is crazy. Luckily, that doesn't happen anymore, but I think like she's been the one that the edit has shown us less of, and I think we're starting to see more of her, and I'm excited because we see next episode she's gonna lose it, and I'm so excited. You always love to see, I mean, listen, it's hard out there, so I think and this is what people don't realize, is every single person cries at least once out there. Everyone, mm-hmm. like without exception, every 18 people that I played, you know, that was out there my season, we cried at one point or another, because it's just hard. So it's always fun to watch. I think I'm happy that we're going to get to see more of her and personality. I feel like at the beginning of the premiere, she was kind of laying low purposely, and she was letting people tell her what to do. And now she's like trying to take control and trying to be more visible. And it's also, she can't eat much out there. And when you can, you can eat coconuts. I mean, Drea, our season, was allergic to coconuts as well, but at least she could eat other things. Liz seems like she can't eat anything. So I can't imagine being out there not having to, you know, you already have nothing to eat and not even being able to eat what's out there, which is a coconut or like a, you know, piece of like anything that you find out there, which is, it's crazy. So I feel for her. And I at this point, I would probably be going crazy as well.
And like the, yeah, it's the like day after they just like said no to the rice negotiation. So she's probably also just like mad at everyone for not giving her food.
That's the first time this has happened in the new era that people don't get rice, which is crazy to me. How are you going to make it like the entire time without anything? Like it's crazy to me.
Yeah, they're all just gonna be like collapsing at the like final immunity challenge. Just like I don't understand.
Let me just say this because there's been the debate on Twitter, and I love everybody, but there's been a debate like, oh, 26 days. Like we need to move past that. And let me just bring this point as a Survivor fan. I know that yes, the previous seasons, you know, before the new era were 39 days, but you guys got rice from the beginning. I think some seasons even got canned beans. Like you guys got ropes to help you build your shelter, which you didn't know. We don't even get that. We have to use twines. Like literally the new era gets zero, nothing the entire time. So let's let that go. Let that go. Even though it's 26 days, we do have it harder. We don't get anything. You guys got rice the entire time, even though it was 39 days. So
I won't come down on either side of which seems harder, as I've never experienced either one of them, but I just want to give fuller context in case people aren't on Twitter because this is very funny. after the episode at, let's see, oh wait, mid-episode.
I think it was mid-episode.
Eliza Orleans tweeted at 8:40 p.m., FYI for context, Chet got voted out on day 17 of Micronesia, #Survivor, #Survivor46.
Which is funny.
It's like, it is funny, and I love Eliza. I love
the random Chet shout-out.
And you know, that's sort of just like the vibe. People are sort of like, oh my god, wish it was 39 days. Agreed. And it's like, sure. But I love, like, this is just straight up funny. Jam Jam quote retweeted 2 hours later and said, let it go with a clapping emoji.
Another person I love.
Whether you think that it should go to 39 days or like your opinion on it at all, just a funny response. I feel like the new era people have been pretty polite about it, which I feel like this is the vibe of most of the, you know, old era, to use the show's terminology, that like there's like a lot of people being like, it's not real Survivor, whatever. And so it's just funny to watch somebody finally be like, shut up.
Yeah, no, it's like, hey, like, no, we really like, and you guys didn't lose your Flint. You guys could start, like, there's so many things that are, you know, that the old, because again, I was a fan before. So the thing is, you guys got rice from the beginning. You guys didn't lose your Flint ever. You guys even remember when people would lose their first challenge, they would go to tribal council, lose somebody, Jeff would throw them their Flint. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to earn stuff. So it's
just like, and like you said, Sam, it's just like, it doesn't really, to me, it's just like not really about like whether you want either length. I think what, to me, if I was a new era player, would piss me off is the people who say, well, every winner of a 26 day season has an asterisk next to their name. It's like, they're still playing Survivor. It's like, maybe the like parameters are different, but it's like, okay, then is everyone who isn't Tina Wesson also have an asterisk? Because she played more days than any of them. There were 41 days in Survivor Australia and Outback. So I guess she's a better Survivor player than all the rest of you. Like,
and the people that played during the pandemic, 41 and 42, had it even worse because we had 2 weeks of quarantine in Fiji, stuck in a hotel room.
Yes.
With no one, nothing, you know, and they didn't allow, no one had to do that. So we were already going into the game like mentally messed up.
In solitary confinement. Yeah. So it's like, it's just kind of arbitrary, and like, I don't begrudge people, because I am someone who, like, I love 39 days. I would prefer it, but it's just like, I accept that that's just not where the show is at right now. And it's like, I don't think that makes anyone on the new era weaker, which, like, y'all, it's a TV show. Like, I don't know what else to say to you. Like, yes, it is hard for everyone, but it's just like, you were also, like, out there for, like, $1 million. Like, at the end of the day, how much suffering really, really did you go through? Like, all set. Just in my
I, al- just to talk about, Christine mentioned the asterisk next to the win thing. It's a bold self-setup kind of thing.
Right.
Well, yeah, like at least you got a win.
Yeah, it's like, oh, all you did was, I don't know, play the exact same game. But it's just like, it's just silly. It's a weird way for like to feel superior. But you know, that's human nature, baby. We all want to be above or below each other. Yeah.
It's funny. I feel like if anyone questions the how hard the new era is, just look at me by the end of my season. I think I look like the worst Survivor finalist in history. Like I look like I was dying.
I know. Oh my gosh, the hyper twinkification of Romeo.
Oh wow, horrible.
This conversation came out of a discussion of Liz, and I just want to note in the next time on Survivor, they include two separate versions, two separate times she screamed. She's like,
I'm so excited.
She said, "What the heck, you hoe bags?" And then off screen, she's literally at the top of her lungs shrieking, "You blew up my whole
game!" Being murdered.
It looks like, you know, it looks like someone won a reward and it didn't take her. I think that might be it. Mm, oh, God. And that's horrible when they don't take you on rewards and you're starving. And especially for her, she's not eating anything.
That's what I wonder. I'm curious if it's like they tried, like Jeff tries to give them the rice again, maybe. And like, because I would understand if he's like, here's your second chance to try to get rice again. And then they once again, like that would really piss. Liz, I would be pissed off.
Yeah.
You hoe bags.
You hoe bags, which is amazing. Lizillionaire.
This is the third episode in a row where she tried to put, the first two episodes she put a plan together and it happened, but nobody cared that she was part of it. Nobody was like talking about her.
Frustrating.
And then in this episode, it's probably very frustrating that the plan switched so many times last minute and then also didn't even happen. And then she's also the single person who still voted for Q after the tie.
I didn't even notice that.
I forgot someone still voted Q. I didn't even think of that. Oh yeah.
Oh no. So did she?
Wow. I didn't notice that either. Okay.
Same. I guess so. She just thought that Q was the target. She
I wish she just didn't want to vote Hunter. I don't know. We'll hear from her. We know we're going to hear from her. We're going to hear noises at least.
But she listened the whole promo for next episode that we've been seeing throughout the week has been very Liz focused. And like the episode you can't miss because of her breakdown or whatever. So, hey, she has that, you know?
Hashtag Survivor Breakdown.
Yeah, bring back the hashtags. That is what really makes Survivor. If you didn't play on a season with hashtags on the screen, you didn't really play.
Hashtag gastrointestinal distress.
Yeah.
Major moment in Survivor fandom.
Still so important to the culture and the conversation. Yeah, so our boy Hunter goes with an idol in his pocket. Do they rehide tribal idols?
They have in the past. They have like planted a merge, one in the merge, when a pre-merge idol goes.
Okay. That was my, because I'm like, if both of their idols had been played, would two idols be rehidden?
I think they would have just hidden one.
Just one. Okay. So that's exciting, I guess, for anyone else who wants to find an idol.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, we know they're going to be looking. Like, well, regardless of whether or not they do, they'll be looking.
Tiff said that she didn't want to play her. Like, Tiff said the one reason she wouldn't want to play her idol is because she didn't want Hunter or Q to find it. Mm-hmm. And so I hope she finds it.
Yeah, they're clearly expecting, at least she's expecting, that one will be really hidden. That would be a turn if Tiff got two idols.
Then she could play it and burn it, and nobody would think she had one anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Gag them later. Jeremy Collins.
would Tiff be the first new era person to have two idols at once?
Drea had a lot of things, but I think
Drea had a lot of things.
I don't know if she had two idols, but she had a lot of things. Well, I don't know.
Interesting.
There's so many idols, there's so many things out there, it's hard to keep track.
I know. And even the they think like the lower third is gonna help at all by like saying like hidden, it's just like that's not doing what
I can't imagine how confusing it is for viewers. Like, I was confused with being out there. I was like, why this? And it's too much to keep track of.
It is, which I will say, this season, we haven't had that many advantages.
No, which makes the season more enjoyable.
It's just like idols are enough. I feel like that's the lesson we've learned. I wonder if there's stuff that has been hidden and they just like haven't found it, maybe? or people just aren't winning them. I don't know. But I'm thankful for it. It's made the season a lot more fun in the post-merge. Ready to see Lazillionaire go off, go ham. Exciting stuff.
Who do we think will be given the credit for Hunter's vote out? Everybody in this season cares so much about whose move this is. And what do we think?
I mean, well, it's like maybe Kenzie. Well, Kenzie was going for Tip. I don't know who would try to claim it. That's weird. Maybe Charlie and Maria. Well, Maria was the one who was like anti-voting Tiff because Kenzie wanted to vote Tiff, which was really funny. Romeo, were people on your season this like credit obsessed?
No. I think this is a new thing. I think it started in 43, actually.
Yeah.
Where people were just like, so, I'm going to take myself to make fire and I'm gonna, you know, want to take credit for this stuff. It's crazy. Like, I think that shows that now they're casting like hardcore, they're only casting like hardcore Survivor fans, you know, that really care about this stuff. And my scene, we just wanted to get to the end and do whatever possible to get to the end.
I mean, and then then Marianne, I feel like clinched her win by like her final tribal council. Like, it's just like, that to me feels like more, I don't know, it feels like better Survivor play to like not try to take
it's credit. More old school. It's right. More old school. This is like new era, like new mentality. You go in there and play Survivor. You're not only playing Survivor, you're like thinking of like what move you can claim at the end. It's
crazy. I just can't imagine wanting people to think you did it. And like in the moment, like I think as long as you have the plausibility that you did it, like by the time you get to Final Tribal, where you can be like, that was me, like I put that together. And as long as there's like one person who can back you up on that being the case, like then that's great. But like in the moment, I feel like it just makes you a way bigger target.
Yeah, I think I see the logic behind it of like I agree that it's ultimately not worth it because the immediate cause is going to make people like, oh, this person's playing well. But I see the idea of like, we see the way like narratives form for jurors and how, especially with this new jury format, it can be a lot harder to break perceptions of like what the jury as a whole is coming into a final tribal council thinking of you. So like, I see, on the one hand, I see like the value in like trying to like get ahead of like that and try to, while they're in the game, before they go, people go into Ponderosa, try to control the narrative a bit more and give like, set yourself up to be a bit more like, okay, they're going in thinking I did things. But again, that's playing for the end game when you're not there yet. And so if you get there, that's great. But if all this does is set you up to be a threat to go soon, then it doesn't matter.
That was like Emily last season when she claimed the Bruce vote off and then she left. So it's like,
exactly. It's like, it's not helpful to have credit for things if you are going to be sitting on the jury bench eventually. Yeah. It's just like, it's confusing to me. But it makes for great TV because it's like, what are these divas doing? I don't know.
I think that it's also, maybe she is thinking about it, you know, like in this game as a woman, people aren't like going to be looking at her as somebody who made all these big moves. And so she wants someone like during the game to like recognize that these are things that she did. Like, she wanted Soed out and she wanted Tevin out. But no, she didn't want Hunter out this episode. She wanted Q out. But like, she was at least part of putting these plans together. I think it's an issue of like, I think everybody thinks that they are the mastermind of the season no matter what happens. It, like, as long as they're still in the game, they're like, I did this, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like so rarely on Survivor is it ever one person's actual move unless they like played an idol and are the only vote. Like, I just feel like otherwise you need multiple people to do anything in Survivor. And whether it's one person convincing the other person or like anything, it's all collective decision making.
Right. That all makes sense to me. So that'll make me very excited to see what Final Tribal Council is even like. Maybe all the people who wanted all the credit won't even be in the game anymore.
All the people who shut their damn mouths.
We're just going to be sitting there and be like, well, I'm here. Any other thoughts on this episode proper before perhaps we get into winner's edit talk?
I think it was another good episode. You know, the last two episodes have been really entertaining.
Agreed. This was a fun one. I'm trying to think. I feel like the only person I've been talking to who like still is not feeling it, my fiance, he's such a curmudgeon is not the word, but he's just like, I know you like this season, but I'm not feeling it still.
Contrarian.
I was like, babe, I was there with you. But these two episodes have been good, but he's, you know, digging his heels in. Love that.
I'm glad that all three Yanu three are still there. Yeah. They had very funny, like even at Tribal, this Tribal was awesome. They were all very publicly talking about the hatred they have for one another. And like Jeff was like, it seems like the Yanu three is fully dead. And they were like, yep, it's over. We're not together anymore. Kenzie said they're going to get breakup bangs. And just like Tiff and Q on the beach at the beginning of this episode was awesome. I'm just like, she's so pissed. I'm so glad that the rivalry continues another episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now they've all targeted each other. Like Tiff didn't target Kenzie, but Kenzie targeted Tiff. Q threw Tiff under the bus. Like Tiff wants Q out so badly. And it was like, we thought these were like the underdogs who were going to stick together no matter what, but no.
Gotcha. Christine, final thoughts on the app?
Yeah, great episode. Yeah, I think it's this outcome was very fun because we got a big player gone in a very surprising way. But then we also still get to have these very interesting dynamics keep going. We're just kind of like kicking the can down. Like we know, like if Q had gone here instead, we would have like really lost a very fun dynamic on this season between Tiff and Q and quite quickly Q and everyone. And so we now like, know, okay, we're going to get a fantastic episode next episode because Tiff and Q are still going to be able to go at it. And everything, even without seeing the preview for next week, we would have known this was going to keep being very fun. And even without factoring in the Liz of it all. So very exciting.
The secret spice. Okay, Romeo, do you want to plug, like tell people where they can find you on social media, any projects you want to direct people to, stuff like that?
Social media, yes. My Instagram, Romeo Esco. That's the best way to keep up with me. I do tweet as well. But I think I'm more on Instagram.
Love that. Let's see, who do I want to pick? Christine, you can plug next.
Thanks. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Extine Files. You can read my writing with Gia Worthy on Inside Survivor, and then listen to the Shadow Play Gaze. You've heard about it a lot. Subscribe to our Patreon if that's what you're into. We are keep churning out some fun stuff. Last week Sam and Derek talked about challenges, which ones they would sit out of, which ones they wouldn't, and I also all sorts of other things. So
30 minutes of not that at all.
Yeah. They talked about that and then talked about everything else. Yes. But it's a fun time if you want to check it out. You can subscribe for $1, subscribe to $5. And we're hoping to continue doing more fun stuff with that. So.
Yeah. Yes, thank you to everyone who already has subscribed. It's been awesome. Sam, how about you?
Follow me at Sam Stanish. I have another podcast, Buffy Boyfriends, with my boyfriend watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I actually have to put the season 3 episodes out still, but we finished season 3. and yeah, definitely we're having a lot of fun on the Patreon episodes. I would say that, you know, the subject of the episode is rarely what is discussed in the episode. Just kind of having fun talking. And yeah, love.
Yeah, I feel like we spend most of the episode like Googling pictures of Parvati Shallow for some reason. I don't know. But follow me at Rain Dierks on Twitter. That's about it for me. Bitter Jurors Pod, Twitter, Instagram for us as a collective. Yeah, so let's talk a little about Winner's Edit. Romeo, who are you feeling as like, I see it for this person?
If I had to pick one person, I would say Kenzie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel like. And I don't want to speak for Christine and Sam, but I feel like we were kind of trepidatious with her at first because it was like, is it too much too soon? Like we get so much Kenzie in the beginning, but it's just like, I feel like she has the most complete story of anyone in the season so far. Like, I can track where her head is at. I feel like my only concern for her now is the tiff of it all. Like, is this going to blow up in her face or not, is my question.
Yeah. Like, this was a really great episode for Tiff, like, to make it out of this and, like, to make it out with her idol. I'm still on Kenzie with an outside chance of Tiff or Charlie, but I really, that's kind of, like, Charlie is, like, a distant third for me just to, like, pick a third. Kenzie, there's still, like, everything. I mean, I've been Kenzie curious for a lot of this season and keep pointing back to those few things in the pre-merge. And like one big unresolved thing in the pre-merge I thought about this week, I think I saw someone, maybe someone on Twitter, like bring this up again, which is the fact that Banu like told everyone Kenzie was running the show and she's this like big player, and that was big drama in the moment. And then that's never come back to hurt Kenzie. And all we've seen is that Kenzie has been like socially doing really well and like really well integrated. And so it's like there have been like these little, they're having these small red flags in her edit where it's like, okay, this could be losing finalists. We were definitely kind of like losing finalist vibes for some of her in the pre-merge. But now we're getting to a point where I'm like, I don't think it quite, I don't know what they're doing, but like, I don't think it quite makes sense for you losing finalists. And like, to me, some of these things could make more sense if she makes it to the end and this comes up again, like she refers back to like what Banu said. I don't know. This was not great that she targeted Tiff here and it did not work. But also she like said in the episode, Tiff will, there'll be too much going on. Tiff won't play her idol. And that happened. Like Kenzie didn't get what she wanted. And I think it's almost like good she didn't get what she wanted. I don't know. It's interesting. Like, and so I like, this could be not great for her ultimately. Like this could just as much come back to her and like she could be gone. But the way it's been set up, I think this is more like, we're going to circle back to this. Like this Kenzie Tiff thing is going to come to a head again. And I think that's going to be like, we talk about trying to like identify who's the dragon to slay or like who's the going to be the really pivotal moment, like boot in the end game or close to the end game that like really cements the winner's win or their path to winning. And now it feels like it's going to be Kenzie versus Tiff. And if Tiff goes, like it's, so it's like, this was an interesting episode for Kenzie in that it wasn't ideal for her. I don't think she was trying to make an optimal game move like at this time in the game, but she got out of it okay. And like also like even though I'll be curious to see how she comments on like the Hunter thing next episode, because she didn't vote Hunter in the first vote, but like there was so much emphasis on him looking at her and her reassuring him. I mean, she was just sitting next to him, but like it was. I'm just curious if she like gets a good comment on that, like. At the start of the next episode, where it was like, he trusted me so much, like that, and like, I don't know. I'm curious. There's a lot with her edit where I'm like, huh, question mark. Where
all the chat at Tribal that Hunter was doing, not being blown up by Jeff, I was annoyed. I was like, if anybody else was doing this, I feel like he'd be like, do you guys see this conversation happening? Yeah. Like right here? Where was that? What happened to Spicy Jeff?
Not for handsome little Hunter. It's just not gonna happen.
I think Ben is gonna win. I think that Kenzie is. I love Kenzie and think that she's awesome and she's a great character. I just feel like there are things in Ben's edit where I'm like, this guy has the juice, especially. And I was not on the edit section last week, but last week they did the hide and seek thing, and this is only made even better now that Hunter's out.
Yeah,
and Ben like. Hunter and Ben were like the last people at, like Q was like, okay, like you're done, everybody come out, and Ben was never found. Ben quit and like came out. Hunter stayed up in the tree, and eventually Q saw him and was like, get out of there, like I found you. And then Kenzie says, this was the perfect ending to our game that Ben won, and so I think that Ben is winning.
Period. I think Ben is fire making robbed goddess.
Yeah. I feel like Ben says dragon to me a little. Like social dragon.
Not necessarily dragon, but yeah, like the person we lose right at the end that it's like everyone is very sad about. Yeah. But I also think like we didn't talk about Ben at all in the episode proper. So that's why
hide and seek.
No, we didn't talk in this episode recording. Right. We did not talk about him like at all. And so like I wasn't even thinking about him for Edric.
I didn't want to bring it up because it seemed very edgy, but he gets the credit that Hunter went home. He convinced Kenzie to do the boring vote and vote out Hunter. And then Kenzie went around and told people. Mm-hmm. But it happened because of Ben.
Intriguing. Yes.
Everyone says I'm crazy, but in a couple of weeks, you'll see.
I don't think that's wrong to think. Sorry, I was just distracted. This weekend I was at a vintage store and I saw some like Oshkosh Bagosh like overalls, and I was like, Ben, because I think he wears some anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like with Ben, it's like the show doesn't seem to want us to see him as particularly strategic. I guess that is what confuses me with Ben's edit a little.
I feel like perhaps the message of all these people seeking credit is that it's not worth it. And that Ben, made it through. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I think that he got his way this episode in a season where everybody's desperate to be credited for the move.
That's fair.
No, that's fair. No, if he wins, that would be a coherent story.
Yes. More importantly, he got to hang out with one of my favorite bands, Mannequin Pussy, this past week. So Ben is winning in real life. The end. I agree. I think Kinsey, Tiff, Q is obviously a little dunzo. Who else is even out there? Maria. It's just like Maria. I want it to be Maria. It's like on paper, Maria would be great. Just like she's just not like shown. It's like if Maria won, like I just think her edit would be way better.
I agree.
Thank you.
I think for a long time we were sort of, it could be anybody, but I feel like as the numbers dwindle, obviously it's become clearer and clearer who is on the path to victory.
Yeah. Wendell Holland. Any other concluding edgy thoughts from anyone? Thank you. We feel good. Yeah. Amazing.
I said my piece. I'm still on the Kinsey train.
We salute you, Mermaid Dragon. Romeo, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to make it work finally.
Yes. I know you get to all, these days you get to talk to celebrities, but I hope you liked us more than any of them. That's my goal.
Oh, I always love talking Survivor. You know, when like I said, even though I played, I'm still a fan. So being able to talk to other people who love the show as much as I do is always fun.
Yay, good. Yes, this was so fun. Thank you, Romeo, like I said, and thank you all to our listeners. We'll see you all next week for the Liz-splosion. What are we saying? She's Lizzing out. I don't know what's happening next week, but it's happening. So bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.